Well, tonight we have our next missionary presenting, the Bankston family going to New Zealand. And again, grateful for the missionaries that God sends our way. And he's had just a really neat testimony talking to him tonight that his parents have been serving there in New Zealand. And he'll tell you more about that. But it's great to have Logan and his wife, Brittany, with us and their beautiful children, little Hunter and Emma and Ella. And they are expecting their fourth as well. So thankful for you, Brother Logan. You come and you share what God's put on your heart as you present the nation of New Zealand.
Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Well, it is wonderful to be here with you here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And I think what we'll do is, if that's okay, I'll just say a few things and then we'll show the video. And then I'll come back up. But just to kind of introduce some of the things in New Zealand, the couple of things that, well, first off, if you don't know where New Zealand is, some of you might not know where it is. If you don't know where it is, there's a small island off the coast of New Zealand called Australia. Many people are familiar with that place. So that's kind of down where we are. We're off the right-hand side there, below them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful country. Lots of various different animals over there. I heard a bunch of people talking about the hunting over there. There's lots of hunting over there, and lots of animals there. But there's no deadly animals. No lion, tigers, bears, coyotes, wolves, nothing like that. We don't even have snakes in New Zealand, and my wife is very happy about that. My name's Logan, and I have my wife Brittany here with me, and my daughter Ella, and then Emma and Hunter. And we are heading back to New Zealand. We are on deputation, but I did grow up there as a missionary kid. And in fact, we were there as a family. I brought my wife there in 2014, January of 2014, and we interned with my parents for a while there. But I'll tell you a little bit more about that after the video. But two things I want to say is, first off, in it I do say that you could fit New Zealand inside the state of Colorado, and land mass, and if you make it square and stuff like that, it does fit in that, but that's not how God designed it. And so the way that it actually is if you take it and put it on top of America, the bottom of the South Island will be around Key West, Florida, and the top of the North Island would end about Pennsylvania. So it's quite long that way, but very narrow. So in most parts there, if you're right in the middle of the island, you can drive about 45 minutes one way, hit the beach, about 45 minutes, 50 minutes the other way, hit the beach. So it's very narrow, but long. And so I wanted to correct that. And then the other one, I wanted to apologize because I am wearing a mustache in that, and I didn't think I looked very good in the mustache, so I wanted to apologize for that. So anyways, we'll do the video this time, and then I'll come back up and kind of finish up things. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of my testimony. I thought I did. Sorry. They got a sign up there that says, turn on the mic. I didn't turn. I thought I turned it on. It's not on? Oh, oops. I turned it off. Okay. There we go. All right, so just to give you a little bit about my life, even though I grew up in New Zealand, and I went to West Coast Baptist College, and that's where I met my wife. My dad flew with me from New Zealand from New Zealand to LA, and that was actually quite a bit of a culture shock for me, because growing up in New Zealand, with our highway being one lane one way, one lane the other, twisting and turning up in the mountains, that driving on the left side of the road, small cars, people driving mopeds or biking everywhere. And then I land in LA where there's huge vehicles, everybody's honking and screaming and cursing at each other and coming up and asking you for money. I was like, what is going on? You know, it was a huge culture shock for me. And my dad was there for a couple days with me and then dropped me off. He's like, see you later. And I was on my own kind of thing. And so that was definitely an interesting time in my life. But I met my wife there. We got married in 2013, and then in 2014, we moved back to New Zealand. And we went to New Zealand in 2014 for two reasons. One, we thought that God was actually calling us to be missionaries in the islands of Vanuatu, which is north of New Zealand to the east of Australia there in the South Pacific. And so that's where we thought God was calling us. So we were coming to New Zealand to for two reasons. One, to get Brittany her permanent residency so that when we were in those islands, if we had any sort of emergency, we could just come hop on a flight a couple hours back to New Zealand and get things taken care of rather than 14 hours or so back to America. And that was our first reason. The second reason was to gain some experience working in a church there for a few years. And so God led us to work back with my parents there in New Zealand. And during that time, we actually helped them plant a church over the mountain range in Masterton, New Zealand. And we, at that time, we were just helping them kind of keep things going. One weekend, we would be down there running services while they were in Palmerston North. And then the next weekend, they'd be down. And that, because we didn't feel God was calling us to New Zealand, so we weren't going to be taking that over. And but after a few years, once we got everything that we needed, we were like, all right, it's time to go. And we went to start the process, and God closed the door. And we were, okay, well, prayed about it, took a step back. All right, let's try this route. We tried another route, and God closed the door. And okay, and we tried a different route, and God closed the door. And so we started praying, what are you doing, God? We thought that this is where you were leading us to go. And we prayed and prayed. And God, all we were getting back from God was just saying, just wait. Just wait. So we waited. And during the next few years, I ended up getting ordained as a pastor. And then coming on and becoming the assistant pastor there at Harvest Baptist Church. And in 2018, my parents went back here to America on furlough for 8 months. And during that time, I now has been put into the leadership role there, running everything during those 8 months. And I tell you, Satan threw everything he could at us. We even had things that my dad, at that time, being a missionary there as a pastor for 16 years, I'd call him and think, what do I do? How do I handle this? And he'd go, wow, I've never seen something like this before. You know, let's dive in God's Word and figure out what's going on. And God really grew us during that time. And it was a huge blessing. But it was during that time that I would be driving people to teen camps and family camps. And growing up, going on deputation as a young kid with my parents, I had gained a great skill. And that was the art of sleeping in the car. Now, I'm telling you, as soon as I would enter and click in, I'd be out. And I could just sleep the whole trip, and it made things real fast for me. The problem is when I came to New Zealand, I brought that with me. So I never really saw much of New Zealand between destinations. And so now, I'm in 2018, now I'm driving people to teen camps and family camps, and now people's lives depend on me staying awake. So I can't fall asleep. I got to drive. I got to stay awake. And so I'm driving through New Zealand. And it was during that time that I'm driving through town after town after town, and I'm seeing there's no church there. Well, there was no church there. Man, there was a little tiny, that looked like 15 people could fit in that little Anglican church there. And it was at that time that God brought that verse to my mind as I'm driving, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's when God really started burdening my heart and my wife's heart for the people of New Zealand. And that's when I started diving into statistics and being more interested in the country and seeing how spiritually dark the country is. You know, most missionaries, when they go to countries, they're going to a country that might be 90% Roman Catholic or of Islam or something like that. And New Zealand and Australia and England and places like that, even Scotland, they're something completely different. The vast majority, and as it is in New Zealand, over 50% claim atheism. So you don't even have the window or the way of, hey, let's talk about religion and church through whatever they believe. You start mentioning church, God, or anything, and they just turn around and walk away. And so it's kind of a very difficult, it's a very difficult field to even get people into church. And so there's many different things that we've been doing there in New Zealand. We helped my father start a Bible college, but because land and building and everything is so expensive over there, it's like this, it's a traveling Bible college. It's called NZBBTP, New Zealand Baptist Bible Training Program. Sorry, it's quite a mouthful there. And it's a modular-based sort of a thing where they come to a church of like faith, so a lot of the BWM missionaries, the Pipers and Comstocks and various different other missionaries, we've all kind of come together we'll have four or five, sometimes we've had 10 students, and they'll travel. They'll be at one church for a couple weeks. Maybe they're learning New Testament survey, and while they're there, they're also learning a practical skill, maybe how to build a fence and then how to paint the fence and various things like that. And then they'll travel to another church, and they might learn Bible Doctrines 1 and so on. And my wife has had the opportunity to be a lot of the music, so teaching a lot of music theory and things like that. And myself with various of the other Bible stuff there. And so that's kind of one thing that we have going on. But we've also had to do a lot of reaching the adults in New Zealand through the children's ministries. And the parents will freely let you take their children for Sunday morning, Sunday evening, even Wednesdays, because they think of it a little more like a free childcare. So they send their children there, and we get to see the children get saved, and they start learning and getting discipled, and then we'll teach them. We'll have like a children's skit or a children's song, or maybe they'll do bells or something, and the parents will come to see their children do this, and then that gives us the opportunity to then present the gospel to them. So that's one of the ways that we get to see a lot of adults get saved as well. And then I wanted to say just a few things about some of the things that are going on in New Zealand. And Pastor asked me to tell you about some of the things that are going on with us in regards to New Zealand, because right now it's very, 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 very difficult to get into New Zealand. It's closed borders, no visitors, no tourists, nobody's allowed to go in and out. And a lot of the missionaries that are on deputation to go to New Zealand, once they finish, they can't get there. But because God has blessed us with being dual citizens, and Matt and my wife with her visa, it's allowed us to be able to attempt to get into the door. But it's been really hard for us because we weren't able to look forward and say, all right, we're going to head to New Zealand on February 10th. That's where we're going to purchase our tickets. That's where we're going to go. Because we can't know when we're going to be able to go. Because they created this system called the MIQ, where you have to get in line with all these other people. And then once the lobby opens up at the right on the hour, everybody that was in line, they then randomize it like a lottery system. And you get randomized there. And there's been 40, 50,000 people in line wanting to get a spot in. And last night, Pastor let me sit on the back row, and I kind of was sneaking in and out because they were running that. They started it last night at 7 o'clock when church started here. And they were doing only 3,700 rooms. And that's what they've been doing. So the ratio between the people trying to get it and the rooms that are available, it's very hard to even get something. And so we've been praying about it, and we got in line for the first time last night. And when they randomized us out of the 3,700 rooms available, God allowed us to be in spot 4,053 out of 40, 50,000 people. And then by the time it was our slot, there were dates available for us, and God allowed us to get a date, and that's going to be November 16th that we're going to be heading to New Zealand. And God's just working a lot of things out. We're having our finalization with our missions board on this coming Tuesday with a lot of things so that we can be on that end of it, ready to go to New Zealand. We just have a few little things, hiccups with my wife's visa that we have to contact the government and get them to kind of expedite things. But we've been guaranteed by immigration that's not going to be a problem, because all of us being citizens, they're not going to deny her access kind of thing. And then we do have to try to get something to do with the vaccines. We're trying to find the best way, because they just announced yesterday that starting next month in New Zealand, they're going to make it mandatory that you have to have a vaccine passport to go to a lot of different things in New Zealand. And then the Prime Minister even suggested that in the coming future that they're going to even look at making it to where you can't even buy groceries without having the vaccine passport. So this is some of the things that are going on. And we also have a law that they're trying to pass right now called the conversion therapy law, which prevents us as missionaries and pastors and people to talk to somebody about what the Bible says about their sexual orientation. Even if somebody comes and talks to us and asks us questions legally, even though we are going to tell them, legally we're not allowed to talk to them about what God says about their sexual orientation. And if we do talk to them about it, then we are at risk of being fined either $50,000 or going to jail. But they're also talking about backdating it, where they could send us to jail or fine us for somebody that we talked to 10 years ago about their sexual orientation. So these are a lot of things that are going on right now in New Zealand. You know, we definitely need your prayer. All the missionaries in New Zealand need your prayers. But we are looking forward to going back there. You know, God says that His word will not return into a void. And even though we're going to that dark country, we're going to be a light for Christ there. And we're looking forward to see all that God allows us to be able to do and starting churches there in New Zealand. So thank you very much for the time and for your prayers.